You want to share with your friends. We are growing in knowledge.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
It is another beautiful day. We are breathing every day. That means we have work to do. And the more I check on the news on my phone, I don't even have a television, but when I check on the news on my phone or go to YouTube and check on the video news, I realized this week especially, it appears that propaganda is on steroids this week. Oh my goodness, everywhere I looked, there's just propaganda. There wasn't really a lot of news about what's going on in the world. It was just more and more propaganda, promotion of beliefs and ideas of the establishment. That's what I call it. So we're going to dive into steroids this morning, because when I said that, when that thought came to my mind that propaganda is on steroids, I was like, well, what exactly is steroids? We need to know that, because that's what we're being bombarded with lately. That's what we are experiencing, a steroid attack, a steroid promotion of propaganda. So you might think that steroids are only used for weightlifters and muscle building, but I realize steroids are in a lot of our medicines, and doctors use steroids. Why? Because basically steroids are an anti-inflammatory. So they're used to increase muscle mass. We're going to hear about it. I've got a few guests coming on to share with us about steroids and what the risks and benefits are. But they're used to reduce activity of the immune system by affecting the way white blood cells work, and to increase muscle mass and strength. So there are two types of steroids, and we should really be aware of what kind is being promoted in our society and at our doctor's offices. Even doctors are confused right now. Confused. I'm going to play an audio about how doctors are confused about the therapy they want to administer in this COVID season. Because some people are already on steroids. They want to, that when people get really sick, talking about reducing inflammation or increasing inflammation, it reduces the activity of the immune system. So when we have an autoimmune disease, oftentimes doctors prescribe steroids to reduce the activity of the autoimmune disease because your immune system is like going crazy. And what we had last year demonstrated was what was called a cytokine storm, when there's so much confusion in the body that all you have pain everywhere, you have fibromyalgia, you have all these symptoms in your body, and doctors don't know all the time what is best for you. That's why I'm here, because we need to be more conscious about taking charge of our health, in my opinion. And this show, let me give a disclaimer, this show is not intended to replace any advice you may be receiving from your doctor. If you have a chronic or an acute condition in your body, by all means, see your health professional and get advice, and then come back here and take charge, because we can do that. We are sane. If you have a sane mind, and we don't see a lot of that lately, but if you have a sane mind and you're still breathing, that's the key. You're still breathing. The breath is your immunity. When you consciously use your breath, that oxygen travels throughout the body, bringing balance. It's the Creator's love in the breath. Every time you inhale, the breath balances out any imbalance in the body. And if you do it long enough, you can heal the body. You can bring back the energy that may be missing or lacking in your body. You can reduce the stress if you are under a lot of stress. Conscious breathing in and out through the nose is miraculous in itself. And I'm learning that. I've learned that more and more over the last year. I am actually very grateful for this corona adventure we're on. I call it a corona adventure, because I really thought I knew a lot before corona adventure. But when the fear just kept coming and coming, and people were making choices that really puzzled me about their health, and people were getting sick and dying more than ever in the media, at least. I want to give you a statistic before we do our joint rolling about the flu season, because that's what we're going into right now heavily. It's getting dark earlier. It's colder. We're in the flu season. And this is something I learned because I had to up my game and learn and increase my knowledge to stay healthy and to come to you once a week and share this knowledge. So the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in the United States of America, has lots of information on their website. It's so important that we go to that website every now and then just to see what they're reporting and what the stats are. So I learned that the flu, influenza, it's called influenza, influenza disease or influenza sickness. They have lots of statistics on the last 10 years of influenza in America. I think this is America. So in the last 10 years, this is such an important number and data for us to understand the propaganda we're faced with today and the lies and misconceptions, because the CDC reported for the last 10 years, there was an average of something like 41 million influenza cases in the United States. You know, doctors were reporting it, and average now, every year for the last 10 years, something like 41 million cases of influenza. And the number of deaths was estimated between 12 and 52,000 deaths from influenza up to 2020. Guess what? In the last year, flu has just disappeared. No more flu. the average flu from millions of people getting the flu every year for the last 10 years. The average flu from October 2020 to July 2021 was only 2,000, as reported by the CDC. And instead of having 12 to 52,000 deaths in the last 10 years, we only had 748 deaths, flu-related deaths. Isn't that miraculous? So just think about that as we roll our joints and promote health in our body, how the CDC provides us with the truth that we can analyze and make decisions to take charge of our health. This is flu season. I'm going to keep repeating that. This is flu season. Whatever you did over the last 10 years for your flu, I'm suggesting we do that again this season. Flu season, lots of grapefruits and oranges, inhalers, essential oils, echinacea, golden seal, vitamin C, and more vitamin C. No matter what they call it, it's flu season in my mind. So let's start off before we get down on the floor and I move my tab. Let's start off just rolling this neck around. That's how I start my yoga class on Wednesday mornings. If you need to move your body, Wednesday morning, I come on live on Facebook and do yoga in nature. It's so awesome because you can feel the energy of the trees, the sky, the clouds, and the birds and bees when you're out in nature to motivate you to move this body. So this morning, if you're in the, thank you for those in my Blog Talk radio studio this morning, and thank you for those coming in on Facebook Live. Let's just start off moving this neck, because as we move the rest of our body in our joint rolling, you're going to feel a lot more flexible just because you stretched out this neck, and it actually starts your activation of your vagus nerve, because your vagus nerve is right behind on the back of the neck, starting at the brain stem, moving all through the body, and it is very, very important to be conscious of that nerve creating health in your body. So let's put our chin to our chest. For those of you not watching and you're in the studio, chin to chest, and let's just move that neck in a circular fashion. If you have any pain, just stop and breathe more. Breathing in and out as you roll that neck around. In and out as we roll our neck together, promoting unity, promoting health, promoting love. We love, our body is a vessel of love. So we're just promoting and advertising our own self, our body of love. And let's just stop and reverse that roll. Let's go in the other direction. Bro, stretching that neck out, activating your vagus nerve, and just creating in your body energy for healing. You're creating energy for healing. You're not sad at all. You're smiling, right? We're smiling as we roll this neck around and create energy for healing. Whatever you need healing is starting now at the top with the neck. Let's pause, bring that head up, and let's just roll our shoulders back before we get down on the floor and do our joint rolling in the other areas of our body. Roll those shoulders back. Ooh, releasing any tension from the sleep area. Maybe you slept wrong last night. Now we're releasing some of the tension by rolling our shoulders back. Let's stop and roll forward, getting all those kinks out of the shoulder joints. We're starting with the arm shoulder joints first and foremost before we go to our floor joint rolling. Thank you for joining me. We're creating unity today. Unity and love when we come together and talk about this vessel of love. It is a vessel of the most sophisticated biological computer on the planet. Whatever they say, just remember, this body has the best computer on the planet. All right. Whew, shake that out a little bit. Now let's go to the floor. We're going to put some healing, time for healing music on. My favorite non-censored music. I don't, all, most of my other music, My other music on my yoga show gets censored, but this music, I have full approval from the producers of this song, The Sounds of Blackness. It's time for healing. I've been playing this over a year now. It's still time for healing. So many people are caught up in fear, which is a major contributor to dis-ease. So let us do our thing today, promoting health and well-being. And I'm going to move my tablet to the floor over here where my ball sits, my beautiful exercise ball sits. And I'm going to move my laptop so we can play our music. All right, so you in Blog Talk Radio Land, let's get up on your back and let's roll some joints. Here we go.
Healing.
All of you and me.
giving that vagus nerve a little more love, because we're going to be sitting for a while, or you might be on the floor, whatever. Let's just give our vagus nerve some real love, squeezing and releasing, breathing in as you do that, out, deep breath in, and squeeze and release, and let's just bring our hands to the shoulder area, give some love there, squeeze and release. Let's give our arm a pat all the way down, pat those the arm up and bottom and top, and up and down, and don't forget the breath. We had, let's move the lymphatic system underneath the breath. Always massage this area each day if you want to have healthy breath, and then just go around the breath and give a little pat under the arm. Lymphatic system is running all over the place, so you want to give your breast lots of love by just touching that area. Don't be afraid. Touch the breast. Give them a little massage. Squeeze the back of the area where the bra usually goes. And then just pat, pat all over. Pat the legs. Give your legs a good pat down this morning. Squeeze those toes. Have you touched your toes lately? Squeeze. Give them a squeeze and a little massage. And pat all the way back up. And as you come up, give those gluteus maximus some massage, but pat the butt area and the hip area, and then the abdominal area. Give it some love, patting in a circle, and then the reversing that circle. Get that colon activated. Give it a little massage and patting down. Woo! And you're ready to go for the day. Let's go back into the studio. I'm going to bring my tablet back to the studio and my laptop. And we are ready to roll. Let's roll. Let's roll. I am so excited about this subject because thank you for joining me in the studio and thank you for joining me on Facebook Live. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. Steroids. What are steroids? Well, I've got some audios for you to help us understand, because here's the issue. Here's the reason we need to increase our knowledge on steroids. In doctor's offices, they make decisions. When you go to visit a doctor, I know I've been there, and then I don't go there much, but I do go to YouTube and listen to doctors, medical doctors with a MD after their name, and I want to know what they're thinking these days when we have this so-called plandemic in our midst. And many of them are kind of puzzled about how to treat you during this corona pandemic. And I realized this week, as I listened to the Surgeon General, if you don't know who the Surgeon General is, let's see, I wrote down a few notes here. The Surgeon General, who currently is named Vivek Murthy, weird looking guy, and he's the head of the U.S. Public Health Service Commission course, fancy PHSCC. They get a 4-year term. Their job is to educate Americans about health. This guy is really getting the F in my opinion. And he's leading spokesperson on matters of public health. And he's nominated by the president. And part of his informal job is to educate Americans and advocate lifestyle choices and American public about issues of health. This guy, that's what his job is. But every time I see him on YouTube, I just go and click and say, what's he talking about now? Well, this week, the only thing he's talking about is, quote, the vaccine. He says that it's going to be a really hard winter, and it's going to be no mention of flu season, though. We don't talk about that anymore. But the Surgeon General is saying it's going to be a rough winter. And what you need to do to overcome the rough winter is to get vaccinated. That's what he said. That's all he said in his 3-4 minute speech, was to just get vaccinated. Now, that's part of the steroid I'm seeing, the propaganda on steroids. On one level, people are saying the only thing you can do is get vaccinated. And then I watched a video, Mayor Lightfoot, I'm really interested in my hometown, Chicago, and what the mayor is doing there, the tyrannical mayor is doing. And here's a quote. I couldn't believe this woman. Well, I could believe, because we're on steroids. That's the thing why we're talking about. What does it mean to be on steroids and to be paid, really, to say things? So Mayor Lightfoot, this is what Mayor Lightfoot had to say. It's the only, she was talking, they were asking her questions, of course, about the mandates and why these police are not in agreement with her mandates and all. And this is a quote from her. She says, the reason we talk about the vaccine mandate, it's the quote, it's the only tool that we really have to fight against the pandemic. The only tool, and it's safe. There's no question about it. This is about saving people's lives. That's what the mayor of Chicago is saying. And then there are just so many other mayors and people are saying the same script. They all got the same script, safe and effective. It's the that what blew my mind was for her, a mayor of a major metropolitan city, to come out and say, this is the only tool. I could understand if mayors and governors are saying, this is one of the best tools we have. No, she says it's the only tool. I got to give her a hand for really promoting propaganda on steroids. So we want to talk about how steroids affect your body. Number one, fear. When we continually are listening to people say, the only tool we have to fight this virus, which is the flu season, in my opinion, is a vaccine, and we have to save lives. See, most of the authorities now are saying we're saving lives by doing what we do. But what are steroids? Let's go into steroids a bit, because I learned a lot about steroids. And here's what a lot of doctors are faced with these days when it comes to steroids and COVID.
Hello, I'm Dr. Natalie Strand. And I'd like to present an overview of the recommendations and guidance for steroid injection therapy and COVID-19 vaccine administration from the American Society of Pain and Neuroscience. As we battle this global pandemic, vaccines provide us one of the most effective public health interventions that medicine and science can offer. However, critical questions are to be considered when providing interventional therapies utilizing steroids as we continue large-scale vaccine distribution. There is a question regarding the clinical relevance of epidural steroids and the potential for immunosuppression. Also, there is a question if a steroid injection would decrease the efficacy of a COVID-19 vaccine. In order to provide guidance regarding the timing and relevance of steroid injections related to vaccination, we review the impact of epidural steroids and immunocompetence. We summarize the COVID-19 vaccine clinical trial data. We review other vaccines on the horizon. We review the safety of vaccination in the setting of systemic steroid use and the efficacy of vaccination in the setting of systemic steroid use. The following are the summary recommendations and guidelines based on the aforementioned data. Number one, there is no evidence that patients receiving epidural steroid therapy for the management of pain are at increased risk of adverse outcomes from the COVID-19 vaccine. Number two, there is no evidence that bolus steroids in the epidural space will impact vaccine responsiveness. Number three, neuraxial steroid injections do not need to be deferred when indicated in the context of COVID-19 vaccination. And number four, no specific guidance suggests withholding NSAIDs or other anti-inflammatories prior to receiving vaccination. We do want to acknowledge that the following recommendations are fluid and will be updated based on ongoing data. We would also recommend that physicians determine each individual patient level of acuity and weigh out specific risks and benefits while applying these broad recommendations set forth. Thank you.
Now, that was a female doctor that you just heard recommending guidelines for using steroids, which basically are anti-inflammation drugs. When we come back from the break, I want to play an audio about side effects. people today don't seem to remember that all drugs have side effects. And it just depends on who you are, what your body is, what's in the body, and your mindset, whether you're going to experience severe side effects or not. Some people like myself react immediately to drugs in the past. So I realize I don't need them. I have to find alternatives. But some people take drugs and they don't feel anything initially because they have so much in their body, like a pig. You know, the pig can eat poison because he's got so much garbage inside of him already. And then we went around making chitlins. That's the crazy thing in this society. So, but that's a slave mentality. We're coming out of slavery, in my opinion, many of us. When we say we're waking up to we've been slaves to a system that has not strengthened our body, but weakened our body in many ways, because side effects will weaken the body if you continue on that same lifestyle. Unfortunately, our Surgeon General is not alerting people to that. They're just pushing one solution, like the mayor of Chicago. There's only one solution to this pandemic. And we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to be hearing about the side effects that we forgot about. All drugs have side effects. And we'll be right back after this message.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me.
312-802-4743. And we're back. Thank you so much for joining me. Hi. Have a question or a comment, press 1 in the studio. We got a few people in the studio this morning. Thank you. And in Facebook Live, if you want to comment, I usually watch the comments on Facebook. I'll try and read them and post them on my screen. I want to just pay respect and send love out to the family of Chris Christia Donaldson. This is a beautiful young woman who was only 42 years old. She passed away last week from breast cancer complications. And I just want to mention her because we talked about breast cancer prevention and health last week. We're still promoting breast health here. I'm rubbing my boobs every time we do our joint rolling because we need to pay attention to preventing breast disease. And this woman was only 42 years old. She was the founder of an organization called Thank God I'm Natural, TGIN. And she's a Chicago resident. And she passed away 42. Now, the history, I just want to give you a little history so we can continue to promote breast health. Her history is in 2015. She was diagnosed with a very mild or a very mild case of stage two breast cancer in 2015. You don't need chemo and radiation for stage two breast cancer, in my opinion. That's like the beginning stages that are telling you, wake up, change your lifestyle, start massaging your breast, start dealing with your emotional traumas. That's what stage two is all about. It's not going to kill you. Believe me. That's my opinion. So when someone's diagnosed with stage two breast cancer, you should just go to the doctor, maybe get a man, whatever they told you, and then you go change your lifestyle. That's a message. That's a knock on the door of women, men, whoever, that you need to change your lifestyle and start loving yourself more and deal with the relationship conflicts and problems you're having in your life. So she didn't do that. She went to the full chemo treatment in 2015. And I'm sure they told her, oh, we got it all. And then in 2018, which what usually happens, it's back again. Because you didn't deal with your lifestyle changes, your relationship conflicts, and all those things that create breast tissue changes. When you have relationship problems, the death of a spouse, the death of a child, those are the things that can start your breast cells changing and accelerating and starting to give you symptoms of pain in your breast. Unfortunately, she went the traditional medicine route, chemotherapy, all of that, lost her hair. There's lots of pictures on her Facebook page and internet. And she had a Thank God I'm Natural because she was doing a lot for her hair. And she wrote a book that was titled, This is Only a Test, What Breast Cancer Taught Me About Faith, Hair, and Business. Now, this woman was a Harvard Law graduate. And from what I discerned from her lifestyle, she wasn't managing her stress very well. So blessings and love to the family of Christia Donaldson. And she had a big family because she had a successful business called Thank God I'm Natural. If any of you knew anything about her, let us know and share if you want to share something. But I just think it was a little sad to see that, but yet here's another lesson for us about healing our emotional stresses and traumas. Because her life is all over the internet, well, at least some of it, at least. And how she decided to do chemotherapy, and then what happens, like I said, it comes back. So blessings to all of you who are learning the lessons from people like Christia Donaldson, who taught us about her journey. 42 years old, Harvard graduate, black woman. Oh, so sad. But we've got the lessons for now to teach us how to prevent things like that. Stress. As many health professionals have reminded us and who now confirm or affirm, stress is the leading cause of most diseases. So we're going to learn and grow from stories like this, I hope, that will help us prevent the sad ending like that. So we're going to now turn back to the risk and benefits of steroids. And more. Why steroids? The whole media is on steroids, in my opinion, with promotion of fear. And the propaganda is off the chain right now from government leaders. to cause you to go into fear and think you need a booster and all this, instead of just taking more care, better care of your body. And we'll talk about that in the next hour, how some of the things, I'll remind you what you can do, that it's flu season. I'm going to keep promoting that, because if you just joined us, I said in the beginning of the show, for the last 10 years in this country, the CDC reported on their website an average of 41 million people got the flu every year for the last 10 years. But in 2020, the flu disappeared, just disappeared. And now we have fear-mongering COVID, where only 2,000 people got the flu last year, in the last, since October of last year, a year ago. Yeah. 2,000, the 70 million, this blows my mind. 41 million people had the flu every year for 10 years, and now it's down to 2,000. What do you think happened to the flu? I'm going to let you answer that, and we're going to go into our next audio about steroids. There's so much to learn. I get so excited when I learn more and more about my topic. And this is why I want to talk. Why do medicines cause side effects? We seem to have forgotten that in this society, global society. People lining up for a drug, an injection of chemicals that they don't even know what's in it, because the propaganda is on steroids right now. And that's why we're learning about steroids, the properties and elements of steroids that have caused a number of people to line up for drugs regardless of the side effects. And let me just throw this in there. The reason we're having a debate about vaccinations or not, jabs or not, because people are weighing the risk and the benefits or not. Some people are not looking at the risk at all because they're not being spoken about, reported on the news. There's no risk involved in taking these jabs according to the steroid propaganda. The risks are gone. It's safe and effective. It's safe and just like Mayor Lightfoot and all of the government authorities keep promoting on steroids, that it's safe and effective and it's free. So you don't have to worry about anything. It's free and safe and effective. So we're here on Health and Wellbeing to translate the lies and bring you truth about what's really going on. And it has a lot to do with steroids. So I want to just play this very short. Why do medicines cause side effects? Because as we go forward into the flu season, there's a drug called Tamiflu. I've got some information on that too, that was causing deaths in the years that that came out. I think it was like 10 years ago. We're going to hear about it. But Tamiflu wreaked havoc on people taking it for flu now. And now we're wiser and more informed. But why do drugs, medicines, pharmaceutical products cause side effects? Let's just get a quick lesson on that.
Almost all pharmaceutical medications are treated like a foreign substance by the body. This is because they contain ingredients that don't translate well to our cells. You wouldn't go to France and try to speak Swahili to everyone you meet, yet we expect our bodies to be more than multilingual. Have you ever tried to learn a new language? It isn't that easy. It takes time. Medicines have side effects because it is the body's way of saying, does not compute. The substances simply won't translate, no matter what a good linguist your body becomes. There are proteins and amino acids, cellular metabolism, and other functions which are already perfect in their design. When we add substances which weren't meant to be in our bodies in the first place, whether environmental toxins or pharmaceutical ones, the body tries to expel them. The chemicals in many drugs cause an interference in the way our bodies communicate internally. Our bodies often use the same chemical to regulate more than one process. This means that a medicine may retune not only the desired target, but also others that don't need readjustment. This is why your cold medication can cause a heart attack, and your antidepressant can give you diarrhea. Not much fun. In contrast, natural remedies which work with the body's innate intelligence and don't interrupt its communication don't cause side effects as often. This is because these compounds more closely resemble our body's own constituents, and they speak the same language. Parlez-vous français?
Whoa. My intention this morning is to increase our awareness of the risk and benefits of what we're putting in our body these days. And steroids are everywhere. And on some level, it's not just the physical drug that we're taking. The steroids that we're seeing in our news media and our government and our sick care system are also affecting us, even if we're not taking them in, because steroids are meant to be anti-inflammatories. And yet the side effect, as it said, if your body's not translating the propaganda in a way that says, I don't believe that, or that's a lie, or that's not true, then we're going to all be affected by it, because even our relatives, I have a very close relative who's getting ready to take a booster. Oh, my goodness. It's like I'm not even connecting with this person anymore, because their mind is all about fear. I have to do certain things to protect myself, and not realizing the risk and benefits of these choices that they're making. So what do steroids do to the body? This is going to educate all of us on this clip about what steroids do.
Looking to bulk up for the summer and considering using steroids, do they really cause your testicles to shrink? Or is that just a myth? Are some steroids good for you? Or do they all cause life-threatening cancers and infertility? I'll explain. Ever wonder how those bodybuilders get so big? Are you hoping to gain a competitive edge by taking performance-enhancing supplements or drugs and want to know what the side effects are? Are there any other ways to get big quick without taking steroids? Today, we're going to go over all of this. Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Jordan Wagner. I'm an emergency room doctor who treats everything from COVID to gunshot wounds, burns, you name it. I've created this video series to help answer some of your medical questions and the questions that I get from patients each and every day. If you find this video helpful, please do me a favor and subscribe. Here's the deal. While some may have gotten their muscles and athleticism through a strict regimen of weightlifting and diet and training, others may have gotten yoked through the use of illegal steroids, or in other words, performance-enhancing drugs. In fact, an estimated 3 to 4 million Americans, for instance, use steroids to gain muscle mass for sports or to enhance their appearance. So maybe you ask, what's the big deal, doc? I want to get huge for the summer. It can't be that bad, right? Well, not exactly. Some steroids could have major health consequences on your body that you definitely should know about, and I'll go into all of that. But first things first, what the heck are steroids? On a very basic level, steroids are chemicals, often hormones, that your body makes naturally. They help your organs, tissues, and cells do their jobs, and you need a healthy balance of them to grow and for other various processes in your body. But this term steroid can also refer to man-made substances as well. There are two main types of steroids. The first are corticosteroids. Corticosteroids are a class of drug that lowers inflammation in the body. They also reduce immune system activity, ease swelling, itching, redness, and allergic reactions. Doctors like myself often prescribe them to help treat diseases like arthritis in the knees, elbows, or for asthma. And these corticosteroids have legitimate medical uses. But these are not, I repeat, not the steroids that you're trying to take to get big in the gym. Those are the second type of steroid, called anabolic androgenic steroids, often called slang terms like Arnold's, gym candy, pumpers, roids, stackers, weight trainers, and juice in certain fitness circles. Anabolic steroids are synthetic substances similar to the male sex hormone testosterone. They work by stimulating muscle tissue to grow and bulk up in response to training by mimicking the effect of naturally produced testosterone in the body. These types of steroids can remain in the body anywhere from a couple days to about a year, and they have become popular because they improve endurance, strength, and muscle mass. Also, these types of steroids can be prescribed for delayed puberty or for medical conditions that lead to muscle loss such as cancer or AIDS. But doctors rarely ever prescribe anabolic steroids to young, healthy individuals to help them build muscles. And without a prescription from a doctor, these types of steroids are illegal. All right, what are the common side effects of taking anabolic substances specifically? Aside from the small effects of increased acne and hair loss when somebody abuses steroids, medically gender mix-ups happen. What I mean by this is men can grow breasts, experience shrunken testicles, and reduced sperm count. Women, on the other hand, who take anabolic steroids can grow beards, experience reduced breast size, and experience deepening of their voice. But these are not the only side effects. Steroids have major life-threatening effects as well. There are reports of an increased risk of developing liver cancer in the body. And if you don't develop cancer, some steroids are known to cause tumors that form in your liver called hepatic adenomas. Although these tumors are not cancerous, they can rupture and cause serious bleeding in the liver. Your liver isn't the only organ that can be at risk either. The use of anabolic androgenic steroids is associated with compromised heart pumping and atherosclerotic plaque, meaning you could be at an increased risk for coronary artery disease and left ventricular dysfunction. Together, these effects can reduce the supply of oxygenated blood to the heart and from the heart to your arteries. Not to mention high blood pressure, increased levels of bad cholesterol, mood swings, aggressive behavior, testicular atrophy, aka shrinking of your testicles, lowered sperm count, and infertility, and many, many more other serious side effects. In other words, steroids throw your body way out of whack and can send you 6 feet under when not taken under direction of a doctor. Do performance-enhancing drugs boost performance? Some athletes may appear to achieve physical gains from such drugs, but at what cost? It's common sense, people. The long-term effects of performance-enhancing drugs haven't been rigorously studied, and short-term benefits are tempered by many risks. No matter how you look at it, using performance-enhancing drugs is a risky business. There are several research-backed supplements which can aid in natural and safe quests for muscle gains. I'd recommend instead checking out supplements such as creatine monohydrate, essential amino acids, and whey protein powder. These supplements' safety and effectiveness are backed by a significant amount of scientific research, and by the way, they're legal. As a reminder, it's always best to run any type of supplement that you want to try by your primary care doctor first. All right, that's been a quick steroid conversation with me, Dr. Wagner. Have you or anyone that you've known ever taken steroids and experienced any of these side effects? Please let me know in the comments. And also,
okay, so he mainly focused on steroids for performance enhancing, building the muscle, the chest, the breast, and all that. And even with that, there are side effects. These guys, mostly guys, I guess, don't realize the effect it has on the liver. Because as we heard earlier, drugs have to be translated like parlez-vous français? Do you speak French? Do you speak body language? Do you speak vessel of love language? Because in my journey right now, this is a vessel of love. It's a sacred temple. If we don't see our body as a sacred temple right now, we're going to experience the side effects of unconscious behavior. And that's why we're talking about risks and benefits. What are the risks of taking a experimental chemical jab that will produce all kinds of side effects? The side effects are going to be there. Some people seem to think by taking a jab for a virus that there are not going to be any side effects. But of course there are. And the problem is we don't know what the long-term side effects are. So one more audio before we go to the break. When should doctors give steroids for therapy? We need to be understanding that because you're going to go in a doctor's office and that's what they may suggest if you have symptoms.
Welcome back to the Survival Guide. Today we're going to talk about steroids in COVID-19. And I'm going to put my hands on my head because this is what I have been looking like while I'm trying to research and study what to do for my COVID-19 patients and whether or not I should give them steroids. It is really difficult to understand where to give steroids, when to give steroids, and how to make a video about steroids and COVID-19. So we'll do our best. Here's what we know so far. Patients with COVID-19, as they get sicker, they develop the acute respiratory distress syndrome, ARDS. We also know that certain levels of inflammatory markers like CRP, ferritin, D-dimer increase in certain patients that have COVID-19 disease. We believe some of this is driven by interleukin-6, IL-6, which is a driver of inflammation in the body. So when patients are starting to get sicker, when you're seeing infiltrates on imaging and inflammatory markers going up, the question has arisen, what about steroids? Is there a role for steroids in my patient? An early concern is that if we give steroids too soon when the virus is high and replicating in the body, that we might expedite or increase viral replication, and that would be bad. On the counter, if we wait and give steroids too late, when someone has severe ARDS and they're proning and they're developing fibrosis of the lungs, maybe we didn't give it soon enough. In between these two opposite ends of the disease course, there may be a spot where steroids may help your patient. So you may ask, okay, Dr. Carlos, what is that spot? When would you give steroids and how would you give steroids? Well, as I researched this topic, I went back to look at the literature to see what's been published about steroids at all for ARDS. And I believe one of the most compelling papers was just recently published in March of 2020. It was from The Lancet, and it showed in patients that are not otherwise needing steroids and have ARDS, there may be a role for dexamethasone to help quell the inflammation going on in their lungs. The investigators looked at 17 different centers in Spain. They randomized these patients. They made sure they were really sick with ARDS. Their P to F ratio had to be less than 200. They afforded the doctors 24 hours to optimize the patient with all the other strategies. They selected out patients that were on PEEP of at least 10. So this was a specific group of ARDS patients, not already on steroids, to see whether they would benefit from dexamethasone. The protocol they used was 20 milligrams of dexamethasone daily for 5 days, followed by 10 milligrams daily for the next 5 days. The outcomes were good. They showed decreased mortality as shown here in the survival curve. They also saw increase in blood sugars, hyperglycemia, and a tendency to increase in infections. So what does this mean for COVID-19? Well, right now, we don't have data on steroids and COVID-19, although we're trying to gather it. We have different societies giving different recommendations. The Society of Critical Care Medicine, as of today, is saying to consider it when you have ARDS from COVID-19 with a P to F less than 200. The Infectious Disease Society of America is saying avoid steroids in COVID-19. And the NIH has not said exactly what to do. So the questions I'm getting is, Dr. Carlos, okay, since we're getting conflicting pieces of advice, what do you do? How do you manage your patients? Well, I've chosen to adopt the DEXA ARDS guidelines as was shown in this Lancet paper that we reviewed. I'm doing that because the dose is not super high. This is not pulse dose steroids. I'm doing that because we have evidence of steroid benefit in ARDS. And I'm doing it because I have seen in my patients decreases in inflammatory markers, improvements in ARDS with the initiation of steroids. I believe the timing here, though, is crucial. I'm not giving steroids to all my patients with COVID-19. I'm not even giving steroids to all my patients on the ventilator with COVID-19. I'm intentionally every day looking at their infiltrates, their inflammatory markers, their PaO2 to FiO2 ratio. Are we dealing with a concomitant infection? If so, I might avoid steroids if they have another infection. But if they don't have another infection, if blood sugars are under good control, and they have signs of the cytokine storm or rising inflammation with ARDS, I'm using the DEXA ARDS protocol right now. I'm enrolling these patients in registry so that this can be tracked, so that we know in the future what benefit this may have on our patients. Thank you for watching the Critical Care Survival Guide and considering this for your patients. Please do subscribe and check out more videos.
Now, I love doctors because they have spent so much time in medical schools being programmed to do what they do. And they're special in our society. And if you've been going to doctors long enough, I've been I've been seeing clients for over 30 years now, on and off, mostly my relatives and friends, asking me, what do I do for this? What do I do for that? And we've kind of explored, because I am a certified holistic life coach who has spent the last 40 years of my life studying about how to balance and manage this body. And one of the things you need to be aware of when you go in a doctor's office, this is my experience, why I don't go to doctors, They don't ask you about your personal relationships. They don't ask you typically, unless you have a really good physician who has grown out of the medical school programming, the questions that need to be asked so you don't end up on steroids with hundreds of side effects is what is going on in your life and your relationships with your wife, your children, your uncles, your aunt. Talk about that first, and guess what? I'm betting the inflammation will go down. The thing that I'm learning most informal is talking about to a friend, a loved one, some talking, having a communication. Because remember in that audio about side effects, the body is going to translate any drugs you put in your mouth. The body is going to process any food you put in your mouth. And guess what? The body is going to process energy that you're getting from people in your life who are in fear, who are in resentment, anger, hatred. All of that your body is processing, especially in the command center up here called the brain. And whatever happens in the brain first, even in German New Medicine, it teaches the traumas that occur in your life happen in the brain first. There actually a lesion shows up if you have a severe trauma. And then guess what? The vagus nerve and all the other wireless systems in the body translate to the gut, tell the microbes, get busy, we got an enemy in our brain, whatever, and then the body starts to be inflamed. But typical doctors, as you just heard, they're going to look at their reports, they're going to look at what the Lancet says, they're going to look at what the NIH says. They might even be listening to Anthony Fauci, which is going to kill you. If you listen to Anthony Fauci, in my opinion, this man is not good for anybody's health. Because he is a Pinocchio from the beginning. He has a long history. If you don't know about Anthony Fauci, there's a good book out by Robert Kennedy Jr. about his history, as well as Dr. Mercola. Plenty of people are writing about the history of these people in our lives who are influencing the public's decision to take more drugs as the only solution to a virus that's everywhere. The flu has disappeared. The flu is buried until you wake up and realize it's still here. They just renamed it. So we're going to go to another break. I hope you'll hang in there with me. We've got some exciting information coming up that you can use to take charge of your health and stay away from as many pharmaceutical drugs that cause side effects, especially in your liver. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
We all say we would like to be wealthy, but wealth isn't determined by how much money you have. Wealth is determined by your power to define what money is. The dictionary defines money as something used as a way to pay for goods and services and to pay people for their work. So how would you like to have access to an unlimited source of money? Money that is not taxed by the government. Money that increases as you share the opportunity with others. Money that you can use to pay for goods and services and pay people for their work. I'm talking about Bitcoin. It's the future of independent wealth building. Bitcoin is the new money that you control. Get started building your wealth. Call 312-849-3456. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Other things you could be doing, but if you're here with me this morning, together we're creating unity and love, and the knowledge that we're all gaining on steroids and choices that we have, the risk and the benefits, that's what we all need to know before we make decisions to put chemicals in our body. This is about health and well-being. And the well-being that I have right now is because I'm more and more conscious about what goes in my mouth, my ears, my eyes, my body. And so I have lots of energy right now in my senior years. And I spend time meditating and breathing. So I want to take a pause here and let us just listen to, before we move on with the benefits and risks of steroids and more, just let's take a pause to breathe to some beautiful words and music about who we are. Because as we heard, this is a vessel of love. And it translates anything that you put in your body. It's going to be translated. And if we have this mindset of earth is my body and water is my blood, if we have this mindset every day, then when we have stress in our lives, I believe you can balance it and reduce inflammation without steroids. That's what this show is about on another level, is can we reduce inflammation in our body without steroids? That is the go-to choice for doctors who you visit when they don't know how to reduce the inflammation with breathing techniques and meditation. That's what's missing in my experience with doctors and their lack of knowledge about the spiritual, metaphysical, energetic aspect of who we are and how we have to translate with our brain anything and everything we put. Oh my goodness, who did this? Get out of here. So we're going to just take a few minutes to do some breathing together, promoting unity and health in our body, unity and balance and this is our anti-inflammatory minutes right here. We're going to do some breathing and think about something very calm and peaceful, which is the antithesis of steroids, that only steroids, only jabs can do what we're about to do right now, is breathe in calm and the truth about who we really are.
Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. Earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me. She likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to
carry fistfuls of these. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bone. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know I caged birds sing. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer. I am surrounded by light, the light of stories. I need to quiet my mind, I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. Quiet our minds, we need to listen. Earth's my body, water my body, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my my breath and fire, my spirit.
Now that was your anti-inflammatory session that we miss in our youth and growing up. I grew up with an alcoholic mother. Most of my life, my young life, my mother was addicted to alcohol. And the lesson I learned from that is that she didn't have a support group that wasn't alcoholic too. Most of her friends back in the 60s and 70s used alcohol for their support and for their comfort. And so for a long time, I was very sad about that and very controlling about not having people do certain things because I didn't want to be sad anymore after all that childhood trauma experience and emotional feelings about a mother who was addicted to alcohol. From the time I was born, I think she was addicted to alcohol for various reasons. And so the lesson for me has been finding a support group that you can express your emotions to, or even a partner or someone. That's why it's not good to stay in marriages, in my opinion, where you don't have that. And if there's more conflict in your marriage than support, maybe it's time for you to move on. But that's up to you and the Most High Creator. But it's time to move on when your marriage, the partner you're sleeping with, is bringing you more conflict than support and conversation. One of the reasons I divorced after 30-some, almost 40 years, because there was no conversation in the relationship. And it was more conflict, and our belief systems were far apart. So that's where steroids are used when you go to a doctor's office, because the doctors don't know about your lack of conflict, your conflict in your marriage, your lack of conversation in your marriage, which is creating stress hormones in the body. The emotions that we have in our relationships that keep coming up over and over again, especially with my relationship, were causing me pain in my right hip area, in my uterus even. And all the things you go to for a doctor to get relief, what doctors are trained to do is give you steroids, okay? So let's get back to the risk and benefits of steroids and more, because we're in the flu season, and I want to help you get through this flu season successfully. And one of the audios I have here is about a drug called Tamiflu. Tamiflu came out, I think it was 2012. I have the year maybe. But it came out to help people get over the flu. And it caused more death and harm than getting relief from the flu. So there's a really good, this TED Talk is a little long, but you're going to learn a lot about what happened or why we have Tamiflu and what doctors don't know. This is the title of this this audio. What doctors don't know. We need to know what doctors don't know so that when we go in to see a doctor, we can educate them. That's what, if I go to a doctor's office, I'm going to educate them. I went to a doctor, the last time I saw a doctor was about 4 years ago, 5 years. I went in for a gynecological checkup, you know, stuff down there needs checking because you can't see inside what all that. So I got a little checkup and she wanted to give me steroids for what was going on down there. My age was saying you got some stuff going down there and it said you need some steroids, whatever. I couldn't understand. I couldn't get the steroid prescription filled, thank goodness. So I had to go to other options, which was a blessing. And some of the options older women can do not include drugs. There's all kinds of estrogen. And in fact, what I found was my body is low in estrogen. That was the main. When you don't have enough estrogen in your body or a balance of hormones, remember steroids produce hormones and they're an artificial hormone producer when you take steroids. And so as older women go to see gynecologists and doctors, they're going to be told you don't have enough of this particular hormone in your body like estrogen. As you get older, we don't have estrogen because we're not making babies. Estrogen is there to help you in your young years to produce babies and reproductive system health. So in later years, women don't have enough estrogen. So what are some of the foods, for instance? Soy is a major producer of estrogen in the body. That's why men and women should be careful about how much soy is in their diet because it produces more estrogen. So I started, tempeh is a good source of soy and estrogen. And other foods. Also, there are all kinds of natural creams out there at health food stores that have progesterone and estrogen that help balance the hormones. But those are the things that you can go into a doctor's office and they don't know anything about, some of them. So you need to educate. So that's what we're here today is to get knowledge. And here's a really good TED Talk, I think it is, about what doctors don't know. This young man really breaks it down, why we need to educate ourselves and know before we go see a doctor what they don't know. Because otherwise, steroids will be on the prescription pad more than likely. I have a friend right now who's been struggling to get off steroids. She's doing great, but it's been like hell getting off steroids. If those doctors don't get you off those steroids right away, you're going to be in hell for the rest of your life. And many women and men die when they can't get off the steroids. Because at some point, from her experience, they just get a grip on the inside of you like some demonic force, and they don't want to let go. And it's not helping you at all. I think long-term use of steroids becomes so damaging to the liver, number one, but other areas. But this audio we're going to hear about is, it mentions Tamiflu, which was a drug that came out in several years ago for the flu and has caused so much harm. That's why we need to be wiser about the risk and benefits of all drugs. Because guess what? What we're in right now with this pandemic fear-mongering, we don't know what the long-term side effects are of the highly number one recommended drug right now. So let's listen again.
Hi. This chap here, he thinks he can tell you the future. His name is Nostradamus, although here the sun have made him look a little bit like Sean Connery. And Like most of you, I suspect, I don't really believe that people can see into the future. I don't believe in precognition. And every now and then you hear that somebody has been able to predict something that happened in the future, and that's probably because it was a fluke. And we only hear about the flukes and about the freaks. We don't hear about all the times that people got stuff wrong. Now, we expect that to happen with silly stories about precognition. But the problem is, we have exactly the same problem in academia and in medicine. And in this environment, it costs lives. So firstly, thinking just about precognition, as it turns out, just last year, a researcher called Daryl Bem conducted a piece of research where he found evidence of precognitive powers in undergraduate students. And this was published in a peer-reviewed academic journal, and most of the people who read this just said, okay, well, fair enough, but I think that's a fluke, that's a freak. Because I know that if I did a study where I found no evidence that undergraduate students had precognitive powers, it probably wouldn't get published in a journal. And in fact, we know that that's true, because several different groups of research scientists tried to replicate the findings of this precognition study, and when they submitted it to the exact same journal, the journal said, no, we're not interested in publishing replication. We're not interested in your negative data. So this is already evidence of how, in the academic literature, we will see a biased sample of the true picture of all of the scientific studies that have been conducted. But it doesn't just happen in the dry academic field of psychology. It also happens in, for example, cancer research. So in March 2012, just 1 month ago, some researchers reported in the journal Nature how they had tried to replicate 53 different basic science studies looking at potential treatment targets in cancer. And out of those 53 studies, they were only able to successfully replicate 47 out of those 53 were unreplicable. And they say in their discussion that this is very likely because freaks get published. People will do lots and lots and lots of different studies, and the occasions when it works, they will publish, and the ones where it doesn't work, they won't. And their first recommendation of how to fix this problem, because it is a problem, because it sends us all down blind alleys, their first recommendation of how to fix this problem is to make it easier to publish negative results in science, and to change the incentives so that scientists are encouraged to post more of their negative results in public. But it doesn't just happen in the very dry world of preclinical basic science cancer research. It also happens in the very real flesh and blood of academic medicine. So in 1980, some researchers did a study on a drug called Lorcanide, and this was an antiarrhythmic drug, a drug that suppresses abnormal heart rhythms. And the idea was, after people have had a heart attack, they're quite likely to have abnormal heart rhythms, so if we give them a drug that suppresses abnormal heart rhythms, this will increase the chances of them surviving. Early on in its development, they did a very small trial, just under 100 patients. 50 patients got Lorcanide, and of those patients, 10 died. Another 50 patients got a dummy placebo sugar pill with no active ingredient, and only one of them died. So they rightly regarded this drug as a failure, and its commercial development was stopped. And because its commercial development was stopped, this trial was never published. Unfortunately, over the course of the next 5-10 years, other companies had the same idea about drugs that would prevent arrhythmias in people who've had heart attacks. These drugs were brought to market. They were prescribed very widely because heart attacks are a very common thing. And it took so long for us to find out that these drugs also caused an increased rate of death that before we detected that safety signal, over 100,000 people died unnecessarily in America from the prescription of antiarrhythmic drugs. Now, actually, in 1993, the researchers who did that 1980 study, that early study, published a mea culpa, an apology to the scientific community, in which they said, when we carried out our study in 1980, we thought that the increased death rate that occurred in the Lorcanide group was an effect of chance. The development of Lorcanide was abandoned for commercial reasons, and this study was never published. It's now a good example of publication bias. That's the technical term for the phenomenon where unflattering data gets lost, gets unpublished, is left missing in action. And they say the results described here might have provided an early warning of trouble ahead. Now, these are stories from basic science. These are stories from 20, 30 years ago. The academic publishing environment is very different now. There are academic journals like Trials, the Open Access Journal, which will publish any trial conducted in humans, regardless of whether it has a positive or a negative result. But this problem of negative results that go missing in action is still very prevalent. In fact, it's so prevalent that it cuts to the core of evidence-based medicine. So this is a drug called reboxetine, and this is a drug that I myself have prescribed. It's an antidepressant. And I'm a very nerdy doctor, so I read all of the studies that I could on this drug. I read the one study that was published that showed that reboxetine was better than placebo, and I read the other three studies that were published that showed that reboxetine was just as good as any other antidepressant. And because this patient hadn't done well on those other antidepressants, I thought, well, reboxetine's just as good. It's one to try. But it turned out that I was misled. In fact, seven trials were conducted comparing reboxetine against a dummy placebo sugar pill. One of them was positive, and that was published, but six of them were negative, and they were left unpublished. Three trials were published comparing reboxetine against other antidepressants, in which reboxetine was just as good, and they were published, but three times as many patients' worth of data was collected, which showed that reboxetine was worse than those other treatments, and those trials were not published. I felt misled. Now you might say, well, that's an extreme and unusual example, and I wouldn't want to be guilty of the same kind of cherry-picking and selective referencing that I'm accusing other people of. But it turns out that this phenomenon of publication bias has actually been very, very well studied. So here is one example of how you approach it. The classic model is you get a bunch of studies where you know that they've been conducted and completed, and then you go and see if they've been published anywhere in the academic literature. So this took all of the trials that had ever been conducted on antidepressants that were approved over a 15-year period by the FDA. They took all of the trials which were submitted to the FDA as part of the approval package. So that's not all of the trials that were ever conducted on these drugs, because we can never know if we have those, but it is the ones that were conducted in order to get the marketing authorization. And then they went to see if these trials had been published in the peer-reviewed academic literature. And this is what they found. It was pretty much a 50-50 split. Half of these trials were positive, half of them were negative, in reality. But when they went to look for these trials in the peer-reviewed academic literature, what they found was a very different picture. Only three of the negative trials were published, but all but one of the positive trials were published. Now, if we just flick back and forth between those two, you can see what a staggering difference there was between reality and what doctors, patients, commissioners of health services, and academics were able to see in the peer-reviewed academic literature. We were misled. And this is a systematic flaw in the core of medicine. In fact, there have been so many studies conducted on publication bias now, over 100, that they've been collected in a systematic review published in 2010 that took every single study on publication bias that they could find. Publication bias affects every field of medicine. About half of all trials, on average, go missing in action. And we know that positive findings are around twice as likely to be published as negative findings. This is a cancer at the core of evidence-based medicine. If I flipped a coin 100 times, but then withheld the results from you from half of those tosses, I could make it look as if I had a coin that always came up heads. But that wouldn't mean that I had a two-headed coin. That would mean that I was a chancer and you were an idiot for letting me get away with it. But this is exactly what we blindly tolerate in the whole of evidence-based medicine. And to me, this is research misconduct. If I conducted one study and I withheld half of the data points from that one study, you would rightly accuse me, essentially, of research fraud. And yet, for some reason, if somebody conducts 10 studies but only publishes the 5 that give the result that they want, we don't consider that to be research misconduct. And when that responsibility is diffused between a whole network of researchers, academics, industry sponsors, journal editors, for some reason we find it more acceptable. But the effect on patients is damning. And this is happening right now, today. This is a drug called Tamiflu. Tamiflu is a drug which governments around the world have spent billions and billions of dollars on stockpiling. And we've stockpiled Tamiflu in panic, in the belief that it will reduce the rate of complications of influenza. Complications is a medical euphemism for pneumonia and death. Now, when the Cochrane systematic reviewers were trying to collect together all of the data from all of the trials that had ever been conducted on whether Tamiflu actually did this or not, they found that several of those trials were unpublished. The results were unavailable to them. And when they started obtaining the write-ups of those trials through various different means, through Freedom of Information Act requests, through harassing various different organizations, what they found was inconsistent. And when they tried to get hold of the clinical study reports, the 10,000-page-long documents that have the best possible rendition of the information, they were told they weren't allowed to have them. And if you want to read the full correspondence and the excuses and the explanations given by the drug company, you can see that written up in this week's edition of PLOS Medicine.
So I'm going to stop it there. I've got to go to a break, but that is exactly what is going on today with a company called, ready for this? Pfizer. If you do the research, recently actually in the news, and probably not major news, but in the news, Pfizer has at least, I don't know how many thousands of pages on their vaccines that they are not releasing for 10 or 15 years, I think it's the number. If you research that, you'll find it. And the drug that he mentioned about suppressing heart rhythms and the problems that blindly tolerate, that we're not getting enough, that is exactly the type of drug they're putting in children's vaccines that are coming out now from the age of 5 to 11. People, if we don't wake up and start bringing these companies to account, our government, for instance, to accountability, we're going to see a lot of dead children, unfortunately, because that's what happened with Tamiflu. We blindly tolerate the lack of information on drugs that they're promoting on steroids right now to put in the bodies of not just adults, but now children. So when we come back, we're going to do some more breathing and I am affirmations, because we need to be reminded how powerful we are against the lies and the corruption that are going on. Why, somebody please tell me why so many people are trusting corporations, particularly pharmaceutical corporations that have some of the most corrupt histories in the planet. All of these drug companies are totally corrupt. When you look at the amount of litigation they've been involved in and the lies and deceit and harm that they've been doing, why, somebody tell me, please, why are so many people trusting these companies to put drugs in their body? Basically because they have the flu. So we'll be right back after these messages. Yeah, let me find.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive, and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
Last half hour, I'd love to hear from you what you're doing to prepare for the flu season. What are you doing? You need to be prepared. Don't wait to react to symptoms in your body that you can't control, like I can't breathe, because then you're going to be at the mercy of guess who? The sick care system or some drug that some doctor doesn't understand is not going to help your body. But we're going to do some I am affirmations. But first, I have some headlines I want to share with you because we need to be aware of the propaganda that's on steroids. And this first one is Bill Gates was kind of out of the picture for a while, but on Wednesday of this year, the philanthropist and Microsoft co-founder, that's how they listed the two key steps that he thinks will help conquer COVID. Steroids, think propaganda on steroids. This is a great example of propaganda on steroids. The two key steps that he thinks will help conquer COVID in an interview by Bloomberg News. According to Gates, the path forward to help us overcome this horrible pandemic is, drumroll please, to continue to vaccinate the rest of the world and use up-and-coming antiviral drugs to prevent severe disease and death. That is the biggest example, one of the biggest, of propaganda on steroids. As I just shared with you the last hour and a half, drugs have side effects. Your body has to translate them. People died from all the misinformation that didn't come out or the lack of research data that did not come out showing how many people died and even the trials. And that's what we are starting to believe. Pfizer and Moderna and AstraZeneca and all the J&J, all these drug companies are hiding the data that showed how many people actually died from their drugs that they're pushing now. So the CDC, on another article this week, CDC was forced to admit it doesn't collect data on natural immunity. There's been a real propaganda on steroids about natural immunity. The report out from the CDC, they don't collect data. It says right here, in response to a Freedom of Information Act request, said it has no record of an individual previously infected with COVID becoming reinfected and transmitting the virus to others. No record whatsoever. The FOA's request, admitted September 2nd by attorney Sri blah, 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 documents reflecting any documented case of an individual who, one, never received a COVID vaccine, was infected with COVID once, recovered, and then later became infected. They don't have any data on that. They don't keep data on that. CDC works for who? Guess who? Big Pharma. And then here this week, OSHA, this is the best news coming out. OSHA suspends Biden's employer vaccine mandates following court orders. We have a lot of court orders and lawsuits going around the world now because people are waking up to the deceit and the lies that we've been given about drugs and their side effects. The risk and benefits. Again, we're talking this morning about risk and benefits, which not all we're getting is safe and effective. We don't get the risk. They don't talk about how many people died. But here's some information that I found just this week. 25 children received the wrong COVID vaccine on London Staten Boulevard, somewhere in the United States, incorrectly administered the Pfizer COVID vaccine formulated for people 12 and older were actually given to children 5 to 11. What could possibly go wrong with all these millions of doses of drugs being distributed? Plenty can go wrong. And here's another question. How many people in key Pfizer COVID vaccine trial died? More than Pfizer told you. This goes back to that audio about there we're not getting information. They're hiding information. They're keeping the data from us to promote their drugs. This article on July 28th, Pfizer and its partner BioNTech posted a six-month data update from their key COVID vaccine clinical that the one that led regulations worldwide to okay the shot. At a time when questions about vaccine effectiveness were rising, the report received worldwide attention. Pfizer said the vaccine's efficacy remained relatively strong at 84%. It also reported 15 of the roughly 22,000 people who received the vaccine that had died compared to 14, blah, blah, blah. So the information that comes out from these drug companies is totally incomplete. And if we don't understand the risk and benefits, which the risks are downplayed and it's safe and effective, that's all we hear. So the FDA to decide on Pfizer vaccine booster shots without even hearing from an expert panel, they're just right all and out giving themselves all the power to do what they do, and that is to promote propaganda on steroids, in my opinion. And here's the reports you don't hear. I'm going to just read these headlines that we never hear on the news. Tennessee man dies 3 days after getting second Pfizer COVID shot. Thai girl dies days after receiving second dose of Pfizer shot. Federal employees are fighting COVID vaccine mandates in court. We don't hear that, but it's a class action lawsuit was filed on behalf of all military branches disputing COVID vaccine mandates. Grassroots organizations lead the charge in pursuing legal action against federal COVID vaccine mandates. And then the NIH and Echo Health colluded to evade research restrictions. This is the information you don't hear in the mainstream media, and that's why I bring it to you, because how do you analyze risk and benefits if you don't know what is happening? What are the side effects of these drugs? Can somebody please tell me why so many people are trusting the most corrupt corporations on the planet, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, J&J? These companies have a long history of court cases that they lost. They didn't win these court cases. They lost and showed the corruption. And yet we still have people lining up to get their drugs. And I want to suggest it's because of ignorance, for one. That's why the information that I give on this show is so important to share and explain to your friends and relatives why we need to take charge of our health. So here's I want us to be reminded, let's see, yeah, we have enough time. The human body, why, and then we're going to do some I am affirmations, so very powerful I am affirmations that reduce inflammation. Because going into a doctor's office, if you're inflamed, in pain, having problems, their response or solution for you is usually a drug. Bring out the prescription pad, here's a drug, and then your body has to translate that drug and decide what kind of side effects it's going to show you for taking the drug. But Human Body 101, It's a system. If you have pain in your stomach, the system is out of balance. It's not just your stomach. And that's what this next 5-minute audio reminds us of, this amazing system that we have been totally unconscious about, and we're not considering risk and benefits for drugs or whatever, steroids, because we don't really appreciate this system that is working here.
The human body is a complex network of cells, tissues, and organs that together make life possible. 10 major systems are responsible for the body's functions: skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, nervous, endocrine, lymphatic, respiratory, digestive, urinary, reproductive. The skeletal, muscular, cardiovascular, and nervous systems in particular create an infrastructure that facilitates the other systems. The adult skeletal system is a framework of over 200 bones. They hold the body together, give it shape, and protect its organs and tissues. The skeleton also provides anchor points for the muscular system, which includes 3 types of muscles: skeletal, smooth, and cardiac. They are found throughout the body and facilitate movement. Nestled within these muscles is the cardiovascular system, a pipeline that includes the heart, blood vessels, and the blood itself. Also called the circulatory system, the cardiovascular system delivers oxygen, white blood cells, hormones, and nutrients throughout the body. Lastly, the nervous system is a communication network of nerve cells that the body uses to transmit information and coordinate bodily functions. It's comprised of the brain, the hub of sensory and intellectual activity, the spinal cord, and the many cranial and spinal nerves that emanate from them. This infrastructure, created by neurons, blood, muscles, and bones, allows 3 other systems to regulate the body's environment: the endocrine, lymphatic, and urinary systems. The endocrine system is a series of glands that use information carried by the nervous system to help regulate the body's processes. Thanks to this neural connection, endocrine glands, such as the thyroid, are aware of the amount of hormones and other chemicals they need to produce. These chemicals are then distributed throughout the body by way of the cardiovascular system. The cardiovascular and nervous systems are also utilized by the lymphatic system, a collection of lymph nodes and vessels that help regulate the body's defenses. Also called the immune system, the lymphatic system uses neural pathways to transmit information about affected areas of the body and then sends out healing agents like white blood cells via the bloodstream. Another key regulatory system is the urinary system, which includes the kidneys, ureters, bladder, and urethra. The urinary or renal system maintains the body's electrolyte levels and filters waste from the blood. This waste is sent through the blood vessels into the kidneys and then expelled as urine. All of these systems require energy to function, and that's where the respiratory and digestive systems come in. The respiratory system is a group of passageways and organs that extracts life-giving oxygen from the air we breathe. Air enters the body through nasal cavities, travels down the throat, and is then transported to the lungs. The lungs extract oxygen for the body to use and then expel a carbon dioxide byproduct when we exhale. Energy can also come in the form of food. The digestive system is an approximately 30-foot series of organs that convert food into fuel. Food enters the system through the mouth, then moves into the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestines. Nutrients are absorbed into the body while solid waste is expelled through the anal canal, the end of the digestive tract. No matter the role, size, or shape of any of the body's systems, each began with the reproductive system. This system is responsible for creating life. The primary organs involved differ between the sexes, with ovaries, fallopian tubes, the uterus, and vagina found in women, and testes and a sperm channel found in men. Together, fertilization may occur, organ systems form, and then a child is born. Humans are complicated organisms, but when our 10 major organ systems are healthy, they ensure our well-being.
Now, here's some knowledge for you that'll blow your doctor's minds, maybe, and your family's minds, maybe. The number one cause of death over the last 30, 40 years, maybe, is what? Cardiovascular disease. Number one cause of death before we got into the drama of the Twilight Zone we're in. Cardiovascular. Now, if you were listening to that about the system, this cardiovascular system does so much for our body to release toxins, to have health and energy. Cardiovascular disease was the number one cause of death. Last year, it got renamed to COVID. How did that happen? Because propaganda on steroids took over. We started focusing on a little bitty virus that's in the ecosystem of the whole planet. And the Gates, Bill Gates and the Faucis of the world planned an epidemic or a plandemic, whatever, so that we could all give the help the pharmaceutical, the most corrupt corporations on the planet make more money. Hello. So here we are with cardiovascular disease, still number one cause of death, because what we're seeing is myocarditis is a major, major side effect for taking these jabs, these injections. That's the major side effect is myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart. Teenagers have died, adults have died, people have had heart attacks, strokes. Why? Because the cardiovascular system was influenced by these chemicals called vaccines. They're calling them that. They're jabs. So number one cause of death. And then isn't it interesting, if you think about what did the government just do? They passed this $1 trillion infrastructure bill to do who knows what, because the size of the bill is like thousands of pages. So we know that our corrupt government has lots of stuff in that bill that is not going to benefit the people. And it's certainly not going to benefit this infrastructure called the human body. So it's our responsibility, us humans, us woke vessels of love here, to build and take charge of our health, because the government is focused on a $1 trillion infrastructure bill to do what? I have no idea really what it's going to do other than put more money out there for big corporations to make money. It's a corporatocracy. The lobbyists run our government. So it's up to us to take charge of our health. And one of the ways we do that is to focus on who we are, first of all. Who am I? I'm a vessel of love. I'm a goddess from many lifetimes. I like that title for me. I'm a goddess from many lifetimes. This is not my first rodeo. So I offend people sometimes with my language, with my approach, whatever. I just can't help it. There's so much power oozing out of me sometimes, it's like out of control, so I apologize, maybe. But let's just go together on forward. As we go forward, let's begin to educate ourselves, number one, about this bot, this vessel of love, and then use affirmations like I'm going to play now. Let's take this last minute, it's only 2 minutes before we close, and affirm who we are, so that we can reduce inflammation without steroids or drugs and use the energy that our body is made of to bring balance to this beautiful.
I am is your genuine self, your authentic consciousness. That which you attach to I am with repetition, with consistency, and with deep belief is what you are and what you become. I am abundance, I am beauty, I am strength, I am happiness, I am gratitude, I am strong, I am wise, I am wonderful, I am persistent, I am positive, I am successful, I am determined, I am motivated, I am confident, I am thoughtful, I am considerate, I am compassionate, I am integrity, I am intelligence, I am truth, I am wealth, I am health,
I am plenty. I am good. I am mind. I am joy. I am one. I am perfect. I am peace. I am whole. I am grateful. I am secure. I am free. I am consciousness. I am awareness. I am mind. I am insight. I am revelation. I am illumination. I am enlightenment. I am heaven. I am unlimited. I am harmony. I am prosperous. I am success. I am magnetic. I am gifted. I am vitality. I am calm. I am relaxed. I am pure. I am noble. I am awake. I am allowing. I am creative. I am blessed. I am worthy. I am blissful. I am beautiful. I am gorgeous. I am grace. I am focus. I am kindness. I am imagination. I am inspired. I am vibration. I am divinity. I am light. I am the life. I am the way. I am divine. I am source. I am you. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm becoming. I am who I will be. I am perfect. I am perfection. I am that I am. I am that I am.
Medicine that you can take every day, every hour, and it's free and it's safe and effective. All right, hallelujah. Thank you for joining me. I hope you share this with your friends and relatives who are thinking about boosting and whatever, but if not, just be compassionate. We are at a place now we don't need division. And so we're going to start our ending greeting, global greeting. And I pray that you will go out and be your best self. Take that medicine every day. And you can stay out of doctor's offices. I am powerful. I am a vessel of love. That's my favorite. I wake up every morning with I am a vessel of love. And I thank the Creator for bringing me to this place. We were born for such a time as this. Let's build up our confidence in the vessel of love, not man's corrupt system of drugs and side effects and steroids. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock, the Female Solution will be here. And Sunday night, I'll be back with Soul Purpose Healing. So join us again for uplifting conversation and uplifting information, knowledge, and truth. And we're going to say farewell and thank you to our global family.
I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you.
Thank you.
To our family in China, Xiexie.
Xiexie.
India, Zanyaba.
Zanyaba.
Japan, Arigato.
Arigato.
Korea, Kamsamnida.
Kamsamnida.
Russia, Spasiba.
Spasiba.
Germany, Danke.
Danke.
Poland, Jean Cunha. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Get some sun.